You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, let me jump over to my comments, though. So I got to tell you, man, early this morning when I'm getting the show ready, I couldn't help but notice that a legend passed away today. Some of y'all are paying attention. I know you saw it. Franco Harris. The legendary Hall of Famer football player who starred with the legendary Pittsburgh Steelers of the early 70s. I mean, Franco Harris was a bull in a china shop, man. He ran with a reckless abandon. He was also the man who became known as the player who holds the title of greatest play in the history of the NFL, known as the Amazing Immaculate Reception. A literally miraculous game-winning catch in the final seconds of a 1972 playoff game against the Raiders. Go look it up, because we were watching it on the screen here in the studio a minute ago, Boomer and I. But yeah, Franco Harris. He was a four-time Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP. He went on to the Pro Bowl 9 times. Harris is also the only player in history to have scored 4 Super Bowl touchdowns in 4 separate Super Bowls, by the way. Like I said, legend. What's interesting, though, is that he was one of several legends on the same team. The 72 Steelers were up there with the Chicago Bulls of the early 90s, the 1927 New York Yankees with Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth, teams of men who inspired others and wowed the crowds. There was always something surrounding these teams that sort of seemed unreal. You could find highlights and statistics and wonder aloud, how did they do that? Back to Franco Harris, though. When I read of his death this morning, which incidentally came just days before, literally days, before the Steelers were going to retire his number and celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, when I read of his passing, I was reminded of another member of the 72 Steelers, a guy named Rocky Blyer. Some of y'all remember him. Rocky Blyer was the other major ball runner for the Steelers at that time. He played his first season with the Steelers in 1968, but then his number came up for the draft, and without quibbling over it or trying to find an exemption, Rocky Blyer left the NFL, left his career behind. He went to basic training and became an infantry soldier. In 1969, he was an E-4 assigned to the Marical Division in Vietnam when his platoon was ambushed in a rice paddy and took severe casualties. Rocky Blyer himself, the football player, was shot in the hip and he suffered additional heavy wounds in his legs from a grenade blast. Blyer was awarded the Bronze Star and the Purple Heart, but as he lay in a hospital bed in Tokyo, the doctors told him he would never play football again. Well, soon after that, he got a postcard from Steelers owner Art Rooney, and it simply read, "Rock, the team's not doing well. We need you, Art." So several surgeries later, Rocky Blyer began training, and he wound up rejoining the Steelers roster just the very next year. He went on to play in 4 Super Bowls. He's also the 4th leading rusher in Steelers history. I'm telling you, man, they don't make them like that very often. In fact, as I was thinking through all this, I found myself wondering, do they make them like that at all anymore? Well, that's a rhetorical question, all right? God's the one that makes them. That's a fact. But are men like that a rarer breed now? I don't know, but I do know that there has been a huge amount of focus placed on the emasculation of manhood over the last several years. So yeah, God makes them, but he calls upon us as dads and mentors and bosses and teachers and leaders to train them. In an age when young boys are too often encouraged to believe that maybe they are actually women, or when overactive imaginations and insecurities lead some to believe that calling themselves a furry is actually acceptable, when young men find it reasonable to just accept a government bailout of their student loan and are told they can justify it because soldiers get a GI Bill, when phrases like toxic masculinity are thrown around liberally to devalue the ideals of strong manhood. Now, do I sound old-fashioned? I hope so, because I don't like what I'm seeing in the new-fashioned. Teddy Roosevelt once said, "We do not admire the man of timid peace. We admire the man who embodies victorious effort, the man who never wrongs his neighbor, who is prompt to help a friend, but who has those virile qualities necessary to win in the stern strife of actual life." But y'all, that kind of manhood, that takes effort. It also takes modeling. It takes teaching. We're told in Proverbs to raise up a child in the way they should go. When they get old, they will not depart from it. Well, young boys need to see old men acting respectfully, working hard, loving well, and giving generously. I still remember to this day my dad actually instructing me to open the door for a lady. He also taught me which side of the lady a man should walk on while on a public sidewalk near a busy road. Some of you know exactly what I mean. My father and my grandfathers, both of them, taught me the value of hard work and of hard play. So with a childhood filled up with scraped knees and bruised shins and muddy shoes and holes in the pants legs, those are just part of life. And you put on a Band-Aid, you snuck a cookie, and you ran out back to keep on doing life. It's not too much to ask for the man to step in when he sees a wrong or when something goes bump in the night. A real man takes care of those things. Do they still make them like that? See, boys and girls are different. I know that sounds radical, but they are. Sure, I mean, there's tomboys, and I've known some women who could outrace most men, but that's not what I'm referring to. There should be no effort in a sane and productive society to coach young men how to be young women and vice versa. Men should not be proud of pretending that a dude winning awards in women's athletic makes them a star athlete. But all of this takes mentoring. It takes modeling. It takes effort to demonstrate that having the ability to be strong must by necessity involve some self-control, that being intelligent must also be joined with wisdom, that real men are comfortable being the man that God made them to be, and that is an intentional thing. That is a design that has been refined. It's a mature, grown man who is a product of an upbringing that is as it was intended, intentionally and deliberately raised as he should have been to be a man. Rudyard Kipling wrote a classic poem to his son. I won't read the whole thing, but it's worth reading. It's a series of life lessons on being a man, from a father to a son. And it closes out with these lines. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And what is more, you'll be a man, my son. We need more manly men. In a day and age when they tell us that men can't be manly, I say that's bunk. We need to model, we need to teach, we need to mentor. We need to raise them up to be that which they ought to be so when they grow old, they won't get apart from it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. I can think of the mentors in my life. Some of y'all can too. I also know that there's those out there who don't have them. That's why it's so important that we be willing to give back, even if it's not our own child. You know, we look at things like big brothers, big sisters, and what we can do in church and who leads our Sunday school. I can remember those important men in my life who weren't my family, but they were important in my life. Think about it. Raise them up. Raise up the next level of manhood, because right now, it's lacking. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Oh, man. I'm telling you what. We got all kinds of things going on today. I'm watching for the breaking news. There's a press conference going on just a few minutes ago with U.S. senators, Republican senators, talking about the spending bill, which we're going to spend some time on today. I'll get to that. But I can't tell yet what they were saying because I'm on the air talking. So I'll be checking that during the next break to make sure there's no updates. Although I did see that McCarthy has now broken ranks with McConnell. So this is a big deal. So McCarthy is the majority leader in the House, McConnell being the Senate Republican minority leader, actually, in the Senate. You know, it's always good when you can see House and Senate leadership kind of working together and in tandem on issues, and we're not seeing that right now. McCarthy is saying, don't do the spending bill. Why would you do this? So we're going to talk about that as the day goes on. We also just had a big event at the White House as Ukrainian President Zelensky just did a White House meeting with President Biden. And I don't know the full content of that. I know it's been considered somewhat controversial because it's almost as if we've given him a blank check. I am for stopping the Russians. I don't want to see Ukraine continue to be pounded unnecessarily. Let's remember the Russians just invaded without provocation. This was just because they wanted their land. They wanted their stuff. This was bullies. However, at some point, we have to have some measure of full accountability, and the blank check is a little concerning. So we're going to wait and see how this meeting went today, and may wind up having a whole dipper on that tomorrow. Anyway, lots of stuff. And then there's also the fact, I got to tell you guys, too, by the way, I just had a text from Tyler from Huntsville. He reminded me of one of my original openers. I used to always say, I would tell people, if you find yourself getting outside the overly broad range of our AM/FM capabilities, you can always go to our website, rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is. That's what I used to always say. And it's funny how you have a thing you say every day, and then you forget about it. But that's what I used to always say. But it's true, though. You can still do that. Rightsideradio.org. Man, it's got all our stuff. I mean, all our stuff. Boomer, how much stuff do we have on there? I mean, it's like, how much more can you fit into one website?
Oh, man, I don't know. I guess we just got to keep throwing things out there until see when it crashes. Then we'll just have to go back one.
I tell you one thing, and now that I'm saying it on the air, we're like getting stuck with it. But, you know, you and I have talked about, I do the triple dipper every day, and I have all these articles that go with the dippers that I research for the show. You help me prepare them, get them ready. We've talked about posting those on the website, so if folks want to go back to an article they heard me talk about, they can find it. So we're going to figure that out sometime soon, stuff like that. The other thing we got on there, though, was all the podcasting. So if you are a podcaster, you're a listen-after-the-fact kind of person, or you heard something you liked and you want to hear it twice, or send a link of it to a friend, because you can do that. In fact, Boomer, we had somebody, I forwarded you the email yesterday, who was trying to find one of our former podcasts from an old show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, you can do that. You can go, hey.
Here it is.
Did they do that thing with Stephen Curtis Chapman? Yes, we did. Hey, who's that Delta Force guy? That'd be General Boykin. I want to go back and hear that again. So all those, Ted Nugent. Did Ted Nugent really cuss out Boomer? Well, kind of, sort of.
We left that part out, though.
We bleeped that part. Yeah, that was.
We talked about it.
That was during a break. Anyway, all those old podcasts are there. Every single day, Boomer, in all his technical prowess, literally takes the show, posts it out there, and then also breaks it down into manageable pieces. So if you don't want the whole show, you can get just a certain interview or a certain segment of a dipper. And they're out there. We've had we're like almost 103,000 downloads right now of the podcast. Second biggest audience still California. Hello, California. We love you. Keep doing what you're doing. We're there for you. We're gonna stay there for you.
Cali.
All right. Hey, listen. The first section of the Triple Dipper. Reblew the GOP. Boomer, you're a gun guy.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. What do you call that, something coding you were just going to do the other day?
Cerakoting.
Cerakoting. Mm-hmm. And what is that?
So it's a type of paint, and you basically sand your gun down, and then you get to paint it.
Any color you want, basically.
Any color you want, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's the modern version of what we used to call bluing. All right. So yeah, you're coating the moving parts in such a way that it protects them and makes them appear shiny and new.
Yes.
All right. All right, there's an old phrase, and maybe we use it in the military more, I don't know, but we're talking about re-bluing something. That's when you're trying to take something, make it fresh. That's when you take something that's kind of worn down, jaded, and not maybe doing what it's supposed to be doing, and it's starting to get a little rusty, a little bit, under the weather, and you re-blue it. That means in a weapon, what you do is you're restoring the weapon. You're taking it, you're actually boiling off all the old layers of old bluing, which is no longer, you've seen them. Worn down where you can see the hands have been and, it's got nicks and scratches and dents, and you re-blew it. Well, when you re-blew things, you make it fresh and new, all right? Number one of the triple dipper we're going to talk about here when we get back, I'm calling it re-blewing the GOP. We just lost those freaking midterms, and there was no excuse for it. We were not doing things well. We need to re-blew the GOP. So, yeah, as we move forward, we're going to talk about what that means, what was wrong, what could have been done differently. And then top of the hour, we're going to come right back with Chairman John Wall of the Alabama Republican Party and get his thoughts on it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.